The views expressed on the following show may not be those of the hosts, guests, or WSPN Skidmore Radio. Talk Saratoga is produced by Saratoga Broadcasting Incorporated and may not be reproduced in part or in whole unless expressed written approval is given. Now, here are the hosts of Talk Saratoga, Rick Thompson and a Saratoga All-Star.
Good morning and welcome to Talk Saratoga. It's been a while and I hope you're having a good time in the rain, but it will turn nice. This morning we have our regular guest from the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation, Kimberly Weir, who's the Director of Major Gifts and Planned Giving for the organization. Good morning, Kimberly.
Good morning, Rick. It's great to be back with you in the studio.
Yeah, how about that? I'm telling you. It's great that Zoom is there for us to use, but it's not the same.
It is not the same. It is much more fun to sit here with these earphones and the big microphone and to look at you across the desk.
Exactly. Well, the TRF has been, is kind of dormant here in the wintertime, but it's May.
It is.
And spring, the nice weather will be here. I think May is going to be a really great month. Put this rain away from us. So you've got some things that are going on this year as soon as spring hits the corner. Why don't you tell us about that?
Well, yeah, it has been winter here in Saratoga. It has not really been winter for the TRF. So we've had a busy first 5 months of the year in other parts of the country. So just I'll put some highlights and then you can let me know if those things are interesting. Mm-hmm. Then we start talking about Saratoga and it is, it's like Christmas Eve, like all the things are coming. But our first 4 months of 2021 have been full of good things happening for our herd. The first one out of the chute was our launch of the juvenile justice program in Ocala, Florida. And I think that's the one we talked about most on our last chat by Zoom because we were just doing it then. It's been a program in formation for over a year, but in February we were able to sort of pull back the curtain and show the world what our horses are doing with this new program, our eighth Second Chances program, where the horses are teaching young men skills and giving them tools for a much brighter future. So that was how we started the year, and it was a great thing. So we're still enjoying the afterglow of that. It just continues. The next thing we did, it was actually also in another southern state, was down in South Carolina. We had the chance to open an exhibit at the Aiken Thoroughbred Racing Museum and Hall of Fame, which is in beautiful Aiken, South Carolina, a very, very horsey spot. It's kind of the southern version of Saratoga, is my understanding. It is where a lot of the horsemen go during our cold months. Mm-hmm. And they have a charming, beautiful museum. And they decided last fall that they would like to do an exhibit dedicated to the TRF, to our horses, and especially to our TRF Second Chances program. So that opened in the middle of March, and we actually did an online live stream exhibit opening.
That's nice.
That was a lot of fun. We had a lot of engagement from across the country, and we had one of our graduates from the South Carolina program, one of the men who'd finished the program, learned his skills, and is now working at a horse farm. He joined us on the live stream to talk about the program. That was really very special because you know how we love recording things,
oh,
Rick.
Sure.
And
oh,
now we
definitely
have that recorded. So that was cool. And then just do one more before we get to May is that in April, it's just been a busy month. In April, we had another big moment, a milestone, in that we've opened a brand new sanctuary farm in Louisville, Kentucky. It was officially launched on April 6th. It's called the TRF Sanctuary Farm at Chestnut Hall. Mm-hmm. Beautiful little farm. It's about 30 acres, just shy of 30 acres, and it's just about 30 minutes from Churchill Downs. So it's in a suburb of Louisville, a very, very pretty, kind of hard to call it a suburb. It's really farmland with lots of houses in it, if you can think of that. And this farm is now the home for 11 of our happy retired racehorses, and they are, as we speak, literally right now, they are charming every single soul in Prospect, Kentucky. They are being ambassadors on a great stage, and it just is giving us a resource we've never had. So,
well, that's great. I, you know, I mean, the nice thing about being all over the country is that during the whole year, you've got different areas.
Yeah.
But I want to go back for a second and let our guests know that may not have heard any of the podcasts before is, what is the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation?
I am always glad when you ask that, because I always get out of the starting gate and I'm dashing right down the backstretch and you're like, wait a minute, which horse am I betting on?
That's right.
Well, yes, always happy to make sure we're all on the same page, and that is with what we are and who we are. So the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation is the oldest and largest charity in the United States devoted to the welfare of retired racehorses, meaning all the thoroughbred horses who have raced on the track, but who at this point or after their racing career is over, cannot pursue a second athletic career. So our mission is to make sure they are never at risk and they are never in jeopardy of something terrible. Neglect, abuse, mm-hmm. and slaughter are the things we are here to prevent happening. Now, we do that by providing sanctuary to the horses. When they come into our herd, they will live with us for the rest of their lives, and their lives are long. Usually between 25 and 30 years old, as most of our herd is well over 20 years old. So that's who we are. We are operating in 9 states across the country. We are founded and based here in New York, in Saratoga Springs, New York. But we have horses from California, New York to Florida, and in 19 farms now across the country. The other piece that you're always good to have me underscore, because I use the shorthand for that, which is our flagship program. Our flagship program is called the TRF Second Chances Program. Mm-hmm. And that is how we began, and what we've been doing for 40 years is putting these horses in the unlikely environment of prisons across the country. Started with Wallkill Correctional Facility right here in New York. And in those programs, the horses are living out their lives, being horses, and changing the lives of the men and women who care for them. So it's a vocational training program where the horses are cared for and the people learn skills that can change their life when they leave. So that's just a little bit about us and what we do.
Okay. I'd like to get a little bit more in the Second Chance program.
Sure.
And if we can talk a little bit more about that, because that is a program that touches many lives other than just horse people.
Yes, yes.
So why don't we delve a little more into that?
Sure. Well, it's my favorite phrase. I probably have 3 phrases, and I think that's really all I do is repeat them. But one of them is that horses change the lives of everyone who meets them or cares for them. This is what the magical power of horses. If we all have a superpower, the superpower of the horse is their ability to impact the people around them. And that is true for all the horsemen and everyone we talk about at the racetrack. That is why they work those back-breaking, heart-breaking jobs in racing, is because these horses give them so much. Mm-hmm. So in the Second Chances program, we're just tapping into that very same quality of horses, which is that they improve the lives of the people around them. They teach without words. They teach things that are powerful and positive, like responsibility, patience, calm, confidence, trust, empathy. The list is long, but those are some big words. So the Second Chances program puts those horses with that teaching capability in the lives of people who've really never had teachers to teach them those things. And for whatever reason an individual may find themselves in a prison, they likely weren't being taught things like accountability, confidence, patience, and the hard work that horses require. So the first and foremost, the people that are impacted by our horses in those programs are the inmates. They are usually men and women, and now young men in our juvenile program, who've honestly almost never had contact with a horse. That's kind of the most magical thing about it, is that group of individuals, and that you cannot generalize about them, but to the degree they have in common, not a lot of folks helping them. These horses are dropped into their lives, and the horses don't judge them at all. Horses don't have the capacity to label you or to expect you to do one thing. They only look at you and say, what are you going to do now, right mm-hmm. now? Are you here to help me or are you here to hurt me? And they assess you so quickly that it's very powerful, because you can change that. You can approach them with love and trust and caring, and they will respond like you are the greatest person that's ever entered their field of vision. If you approach them with fear or anger or anxiety, they're going to respond right back to you. They're going to be afraid. They're going to get defensive. They could get a little scary themselves. So it's like magic. And I use that word with great freedom because there's really almost nothing like it. Yes, you can say your cats and your dogs kind of respond, but it's different when a 1,200-pound animal does these things. When a 1,200-pound animal reads you, Rick, and says, "You're my friend," and they walk up to you and they stick their nose in your shoulder and they close their eyes, you're going to melt like a puddle. You just are. And it doesn't matter who you are. You could be you, which, of course, we'd all do that with you because you are the sweetest, nicest man ever. But if you're a great...
feed me a peppermint a candy and I'll follow you anyway.
Exactly. Well, we love that about you. But you know, the same thing happens with every person that walks up to a horse. So that is the magic of the Second Chances program. And I have to say, as much as it sounds a little crazy to link the Second Chances program, which is specifically in incarceration, to the new sanctuary farm at Chestnut Hall, there's a connection there in that the horses are doing the same thing. At Chestnut Hall, though, rather than putting them behind bars, basically, as they live in prison where they're impacting prisoners, at Chestnut Hall, we're going to put them on display. They are going to be publicly available with literally buses of people coming to see them, and they're going to do that same magical thing. They're going to look with great curiosity at that little child who's innocently staring at them with great big eyes. And that big horse is going to walk right up and say, "Are you my friend?"
Yeah.
And that little person is going to be changed forever by that experience. And it's the same magic. It's not the Second Chances program because it's not a vocational training program. But what is happening with our neighbors at Chestnut Hall is the very same thing. It proves that the horses are the same. That's the magic that we bring, and it's such a gift to get to talk about it.
Oh, most definitely. One thing about the prisoners is that they develop a bond also with the horses, and they're learning. You know, I know you said it wasn't a vocational program, but to a little bit of an extent, it is.
Yes.
Because the inmates that are fortunate enough to take care of these horses, I mean, that's their horse, basically.
Yeah.
They give them a bath. They brush them.
Yep.
They're with them every day.
Yep.
And that horse develops a bond with them, and they develop a bond with the horse.
Yeah, and it's something that many of these men and women haven't had before.
Yeah.
Is something that looked forward to their arrival, that awaited them, that was excited to see them, and that trusted them. I would say, just to your point, though, Rick, we actually, in the prisons, we really do emphasize the vocational part.
Okay.
The prisons would not, frankly, let us be there if it weren't for a productive, job-oriented employment function.
Okay.
So we know that the therapeutic stuff happens because it just does. But the prisons and our contract, which is a partnership with the corrections, always starts with, this will be a vocational training program. And then we have these great stories all across the country where the men and women, not all of them, but they all come out changed. They don't all come out saying, this is my calling. But those that do will go on to jobs working with horses for the rest of their lives. Mm-hmm. And it's wonderful to see. It's not really our goal. Not to be confusing. I like to be clear that we just want the men and women in the programs to come out as better people who will be productive, contributing members of society. Whatever job they pursue, they'll be better for the horses having taught them. But it is kind of the Cinderella ending when somebody says, no, I've now learned that horses are my calling.
Sure.
And I'm going to devote the rest of my life to them. So we have those stories all across the country. And it's the part of what we get to tell as we talk about it.
Sure. Well, you know, you had mentioned about people once they are around horses, how much they come to appreciate them. I mean, you know this. For the Saratoga meet for 8 weeks, I'm a security guard up there.
Yeah.
And I'm fortunate to have the spot that I do. And I've noticed over the 8 years that I've been there is that you get a lot of young people who have a horse and then get into maybe riding, mm-hmm. or they go to Louisville and take a job, you know, in with trainers or whatever, or you get young people that go to the Gundolphin mm-hmm. Program where they go to different countries that have racetracks and but they get very dedicated to the horses.
Yep.
The care, the training, and that. And it's amazing because it. What makes me in awe is the number of young people that who draw other young people in.
Yep.
And you know, we had one of our friends, a niece, maybe a month or so ago when she was home 2 months ago. But it's great to see that excitement in young people.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Now, I wanted to make one statement, and this is from your website, about the Second Chance program, is that it relies completely on donations and not government grants. So if you make consider making a gift so they can continue this program, please do so, because I think the TRF can apply for government grants for their other programs, but this program here is strictly donations.
Thank you, Rick. Well, it's exactly true. We are entirely funded by private individuals and foundations through their donations. And the thing about the government grant side is that our only function as an organization is to take care of the horses. That's what we raise the money for. The Second Chances program is a beautiful example of a public-private partnership. And so we provide the horses, because they're ours, and we provide all the dollars that follow them, which is for their feet, for their vet, for their teeth, and all the food that they eat. Those things keep us busy. The nice thing for the public side is that means our taxpayer dollars aren't going towards feeding horses, which, mm-hmm. while it might not be terrible, it's a little weird. So the public side of our Second Chances program is provided for by the correctional system, and they provide the land, because that's corrections land. They provide the instructor, who's a person hired by the prison, because he or she must be, to take care of inmates and oversee them. And then they provide the labor through the inmates. So there is, it's not a grant. It's almost an in-kind donation from the public sector partner. But we have to be there to provide every single dollar that the horses need. Mm-hmm. And by having that covered, we can continue to do this program, because it just works really beautifully. And we are very optimistic about additional programs because there's a lot of momentum. There's a lot of belief in the program across the correctional system. Now, we work with state-level correctional facilities in each of the 8 states that we're operating, which is wonderful and also a little challenging, because it means any new state, we have to sort of start from scratch.
Sure.
Right now, we are on the cusp of what we hope will be our expansion in one of the states where we already have a program. That would make a lot more sense, quite frankly. We already have the relationships. We're already a proven entity in given state X. So whether that be New York, whether that be Kentucky, or whether that be Florida, I would say those are the 3 most likely places. Stats. We've been in each of them for decades. It is at the end of the day, to your point, we're able to do what we do because our donors enable us to take care of the horses. And so the horses are essentially free for the prison to use in their vocational training program.
Sure. Now, that doesn't stop people from making donations to the TRF.
Yeah.
Because even though the Second Chances program is great, so are the farms that take care of horses. We had mentioned this before, you know, with the vet bills, putting them up and the hay that they eat.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I mean, that costs a lot of money. So you never turn down dollars from individuals, I'm sure.
No. Nope.
And, you know, it's just, it touches your heart. Plus, a lot of people, I think of the horse industry as, well, when a thoroughbred completes its life, they're high-strung animals, and, you know, there's nothing for them at the end, and they're probably slaughtered, and, you know, so why should we donate money to that? But with the foundation, the TRF, you bypass that, so people can have a good feeling about donating, because, like you said, some of them live to be 20, 25 years old, and they're being taken care of.
Yeah.
So people should feel good that there are programs like this that do take care of horses after racing.
They are. And it's, I think it, you know, the world is full of so much information. We know that. Lord knows as we were talking before we started recording, you know, there's so much information about so many things. And so I don't blame anyone for not knowing something, because, you know, usually when if somebody says, well, they should have known that. Well, no, probably someone should have taught them that. So it's easy to think when you watch racing that if you don't know, where do all the horses go? And we all live in a world of negative thoughts, so it's exactly. easy to think the worst. But I would say that we are really proud of what we do, and we're more proud to not be alone. So for your listeners to know that not only is the TRF one answer for these 500 lucky horses that found their way to us, mm-hmm. we are part of a community. We call it's actually an industry. We call ourselves the Thoroughbred Aftercare Industry. And together, there's over 100 charities that focus on retired racehorses. Most of them, fortunately, focus on retraining these horses, because in a perfect world, they finish their career like the athletes that they are. I always use the Tony Romo example. He finished his football career with a bad shoulder. Now he's going to go on and be a PGA golfer. That's right. wonderful. That is the goal for every horse coming off the racetrack. However, there's going to be a few Joe Theismans in the world who finish with a really bad leg, yeah. and he's probably not going to play sports. But look at what a successful career that man has had as a businessman. That's the example for us with our horses. They deserve the same quality of life, but we can't do it alone. So right. it's always a pleasure to bring that up too.
Right, and not every horse can be put out the stud.
Right, no.
or breeded. And so, you know, they have to be taken care of. And to know that it's done humanely and in the horse's best interest is great.
Yeah, I feel honored. There's so many people for so many years who have supported this work. And so I just am like the recent person who gets to talk about it, say thank you. That's my favorite thing to say, is thank you to everyone listening who cares. And then invite those who have not yet learned about us to look and learn a little bit.
And people can come up and visit.
Yes.
Pretty much anytime.
So the truth is, your question was about May going forward, and I didn't let you get there, but we're about to bring the horses up for our Saratoga Summer Farm. So that is a chance for everyone listening to know. You'll get to, if you're interested, to not only meet me, which I'd love to do, but also to meet a couple of our horses who will be coming up from the Wallkill Correctional Facility. They get to take a break from prison, and they will come to Saratoga, and they will be here as our ambassadors for the summer.
That's excellent. Excellent. There's another big, let me preface by this. At the Saratoga track, they're resurfacing the Oklahoma side, which is the training track where they work out in the mornings. Not training, but workout. And they're resurfacing that. And a couple of years ago, they built the Whitney family, built a tower mm-hmm. that people can go up to and see the track from high. Mm-hmm. And now they're building dormitories for the backstretch workers. Mm-hmm. And they're also putting in a medical facility for the backstretch workers, which leads me to a program that you do where the campgrounds. Mm-hmm. So why don't you talk a little bit about that? Because that is a great program, and that is only about 3/4 of a mile from my home.
Yes. So. Oh, good. Well, that is, thank you for giving me the chance. I love to talk about my horses, but the horses rely on us humans to take care of them. And the horses at the Saratoga racetrack live and breathe through the care of an incredibly hardworking community, which is the community of the backstretch. It is the unsung heroes, if ever there were unsung heroes in the horse racing world. It's the backstretch community. Hmm. So I take off my TRF hat right now, not because I ever really do. You can see I'm wearing my vest. I'm always yes. wearing my gear. But I, as a private person, other than my work for the horses, my number one volunteer organization where I put my time when I'm not talking about horses is with the New York Racetrack Chaplaincy. That is the group that takes care of one of several groups, but there's a really great community of charities that focus on the welfare of the humans that care for the horses. So for me, they're very intertwined. I can't imagine taking care of the horses without taking care of the people who take care of the horses. So for me, there's not a lot of delineation, but I do want to be clear for the next couple things I say that this is me now speaking as a very enthusiastic volunteer of the New York Racetrack Chaplaincy. It is an amazing group of people who care for a huge community at Belmont, at Aqueduct, and then at Saratoga. But it is very different in here in Saratoga because, of course, the horses are only here a couple months a year, mm-hmm. which means the people who take care of them are only here a couple months a year. And the campground project is one that I am thrilled to be a part of. I kind of stepped in with shoulder to shoulder with a very dear friend, Mr. Nick Karras, who's the program director at the New York Racetrack Chaplaincy. And Nick is just the kind of guy that makes the world a better place. And he told me when I first met him, which was back when I started and when I moved to Saratoga in 2018, we had our first phone call. And he said, Kim, let me tell you about the campground, which is where the families live that come up for the racetrack. And it's meaning families, meaning with kids. It's husbands and wives and children who are not really, are not comfortable and probably not even really allowed to live on the racetrack grounds because the children, it's a, probably, frankly, a liability issue. We also just all think we probably wouldn't feel so comfortable with little kids running around. So the campground has been made available through more wonderful people in the Saratoga community so that families can live together, they can stay together, and that the kids can come up to where their parents are working, and they can provide a safe and comfortable environment for families. But he said back in 2018, he said, I have a vision that when those families arrive at the campground, that they open the door to their room or their cabin, and it smells fresh, and there's clean sheets on the bed. Maybe there's a little vase of flowers and a note that says welcome. He said, that would make such a difference for these hardworking folks who upheave their whole lives and move up here, and they don't miss a beat with work. You know, they work in the morning, they drive in the afternoon, and they're back at the barn at 4 o'clock the next day. If they could just walk in the door and feel like somebody was happy that they were here and that they had a fresh, clean home, he said it would make a huge difference. And I remember that conversation, and I said, Nick, one of my favorite things to do is to make people's dreams come true. So let's try to make that happen. Well, that was 2018. And the truth is, we thought about it and we talked about it. In 2019, I was still getting my feet about me, and I got to go see the campground at its full capacity with all the families living there and all of it kind of in its crazy chaotic beauty. But we were getting our plan in order for 2020. And we thought, okay, we're going to get a lot of volunteers involved out here. We're going to get it together. We're going to do this. 2020 ended up being a very different year, but It actually turned out to be the perfect year for the campground project, because as limited as the racetrack was and as limited as the backstretch community was, there was still a need for the families.
Right.
But they only could open the cabins and the rooms that had their own private restroom due to COVID constraints and safety and security. But that actually made it a kind of perfect way to get started, because 10 is kind of a manageable number. What we did last year, and this is where we had a good first year, is we found 10, we called them cabin sponsors. And it was both organizations and individuals, just whatever worked. Each of them identified one cabin that would be theirs, and they just took ownership of it. And they said, not actual ownership, but sponsorship ownership, and said, I'm going to make that place comfortable, warm, and welcoming. Like, that was the goal. I'm just going to own this little room or this cabin. I'm going to make it clean and nice. And so when it came time for the families to move up here last July, we ended up with this extraordinary example of the Saratoga community that we are talking to today, rolling out our version of the red carpet. And these 10 families walked in, they opened the doors, and Nick's dream came true. They walked into brand new bedding, flowers, probably too much stuff. Like, we all went a little crazy with like the HGTV decor touches, but we had so much fun doing it. And the families felt like we were happy they were here. It was wonderful.
Like, they were appreciated.
Yeah. That somebody was happy to see them. And it made their lives a little easier. It just was one small thing. It wasn't a big thing, but it was a big thing because it was a small thing that made a difference. So here we are. It is the summer of 2021. It's coming. We can hear the hoofbeats. I just watched the horses crossing Union Avenue as I drove here. And we are right in the midst of gathering our team together for the campground project for 2021. As of you and I sitting here, we expect to still use the same 10 cabin model. That's as of the rules, as of this moment. And you and I know they change constantly.
Yes.
So we are first and foremost inviting those who are interested to join us as cabin sponsors, knowing that we probably don't have a lot of available cabins because the sponsors from last year are basically all coming back. But we still would like to know who's interested, because we think by next year, surely we'll need more sponsors. And this year, it's going to change on a dime. And if we get a go-ahead, we will need new sponsors this year. We just don't know when that will happen. And the third thing is that because we've now got our ducks in a row for this year, all the cabin sponsors, we already bought the bedding. We got everything dry cleaned and laundered over the winter. We're like ready to go. We would like to now add some other layers of support to the campground. We are actively seeking volunteers to help with springtime cleanup, to move the branches, to do the raking. We're looking for folks who might want to help with children's programs out at the campground, which could just be an hour or two of babysitting on a Sunday afternoon would really be welcome for those hardworking moms and dads. And then we're also looking to put together a team for some meals that we might provide out there. But the truth is, the sky's the limit, and getting to talk about it with you today gives me a chance to put out the call for folks who are interested. And then I do want to give a website, because those who are, in fact, before I do that, I will let you ask me some questions, because that was just a whole lot of information.
If you can, could you tell us what a cabin sponsor costs?
Yeah, I can. And the truth is, we, I can, because at this point, it is not something we've set a dollar number on. What the cabin sponsors have done is just provide everything.
Okay.
So it was sort of whatever you felt like spending, because we weren't looking to raise money. We were looking to provide the stuff.
Okay.
And the cleaning. It's mostly a service project. Sure. So it's cleaning the bathrooms, and it's sweeping, and it's vacuuming, and it's just making the beds and making it nice. And that's probably, now the chaplaincy, like any good charity, is also, as you're so good to say, they're always looking for dollars and donations. But this is, so that's always welcome, and that's why we'll give the website out. But this is much more of a roll your sleeves up, come help us kind of opportunity.
Because I was wondering if, there could be two or three sponsors of a cabin.
That's exactly what has happened.
Okay, good.
Yep.
And one of the other things that, I mean, these things just roll in my head.
Good.
You probably thought about
it. I love this.
But have you ever approached service clubs, like the Rotary, the Lions Clubs, the Kiwanis Clubs, to see if they would like to sponsor, maybe all go in as one service club group?
Yep.
And sponsor a cabin, and maybe have a cleanup crew. Each club could go 1 week, and so that every third week they're there.
Yeah. Well, we've thought about it, but we haven't really put the call out there yet.
Okay.
So, well, let's call today the opening call for that, because we think that would be terrific.
Sure.
Last year, again, with just the 10, we sort of did what we did with our 10. People were being careful. Now I think service groups are probably looking for things to do, and they're feeling a little more confident about going out into the world. This could still be it's very open. It's a beautiful campground. It's beautiful trees. Everyone's surprised when they walk in that campground, because it's hiding. As you said, it's right around the corner, really, from us here. And you turn in the driveway, and it's like you went to some other land. It's just so peaceful. And it just feels like my camp. I went to camp as a kid. I just have that feeling. It smells of the pine needles.
Yeah, it feels like you're in the Adirondacks.
It does.
And I'll tell you one thing.
Yeah.
That you would not believe that property is in Saratoga Springs, the way that they're using every inch of property.
Yes.
And it is. It's woods, and it's like a typical camping experience.
It is.
And what I think what that started as is there's a church on the corner, 29 and Pine Road.
Yep.
And that was their summer camp program.
Yep.
And they would have families that would go, and I mean, you know, it would be like living in the woods, because it is.
It is. It's just, it is beautiful. And that wonderful Pine Grove Community Church there, Pastor Mark, is a really big part of this project too. I want to say, if you're listening to hear us, just know that Pastor Mark, who is a magical human, is very, very involved and supportive of the program. He and I worked closely together through last summer as we were getting access to the cabins and getting things fixed. So we love the community support of the church. And it is a little bit of a miracle that that piece of land is still there. And I think there's a lot of ways to get involved and to explore how to protect that. But but we, as the chaplaincy, especially putting on that volunteer role for the chaplaincy, are just grateful that those cabins are there and can provide that sort of peaceful getaway feeling for these hardworking families. And now together as the community of Saratoga, there really is an opportunity to show who we are to these folks. And it's I always say that hospitality is best expressed when extended to a stranger. And that's where we really have that chance with the campground.
Because you have to figure that a lot of these backstretch workers aren't only from the New York track. Some of them come up from Florida. I mean, they really follow the trainers more.
Yep.
And so they come from big cities, and they don't have this opportunity.
No.
And I don't think people realize how much the backstretch workers do. They're in the background. They're never seen.
No.
And
they work all the time.
Right.
All the time.
They do.
And I was, you and I were chatting earlier about the racetrack and this year and why I do think that the campground could change dramatically quickly. And that is that when the backstretch families come up, they come to follow the horses and to be with the trainers. But to come to Saratoga is in many ways, it sounds crazy to say, it's a bit of a hardship when you are working in that world because you're away from all of your other support systems like childcare and schools and all the things that we would, you know, take for granted. But what makes it really worth it to come up here is that there are all these other employment opportunities, and these are hardworking individuals. So when they finish with the horses, most of them will go to their second job of the day, which could be parking lot attendant, working in the food service at the track, working at a restaurant in town. And there may even be a third job. When there are two parents, they're going to work every minute that they're up here.
Sure.
And those changes at the track, which are going to increase the number of fans, which is going to increase the number of food, which is going to increase the number of tellers, that's going to trickle down. And that's why I actually do think that I'm going to be very glad we recorded this podcast so that all those service groups and all those interested volunteers are what I'd love to have folks do is raise their hand now so that we can know who you are before we get the go ahead. And
right. You want to put them in groups so you, when you have to hit the ground, you've got
feet ready
to go.
Yes, and, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. So you're looking, you're going to set a few cleanup days in May and June.
Yep.
And get that ready. And I think, you know, your idea of putting the teams so that it's not just one person cleaning up. You know, you get teams that can have fun doing it.
Exactly.
And it's you're doing it for a cause that these people really need it.
Yes.
And
I have to take a moment just to say thank you to the folks who did it last year because they were groups just like you're describing. I mean, I have from my one dear friend, Kevin Murphy. So he's a big-hearted volunteer type. He volunteers for the TRF. He volunteers for the chaplaincy. He just got, and he's a young guy. He got a bunch of his buddies together and he said, let's do this as like something to do to have fun. And I highly celebrate that model. But we also had Temple Sinai, incredibly service-oriented community. They, with their Rabbi Jonathan actually came out for our kind of kickoff when the cabins were ready, almost a blessing of the cabins. We also had a group called Saratoga Immigration Coalition. They partnered up with a group from the PNECC Church. You know, so all are welcome, and that's what we're trying to extend a welcome to these folks, but we're doing it together, and it sort of is a really fun way to bring our Saratoga community together. So all are welcome to volunteer, and there will be plenty to do.
Now, inside, is there, like, light work that can be done? Because I was thinking, like, the senior center.
Yeah.
There's many 50 to 55 up.
Yeah,
I mean, years old, and they may want to get involved, but I'm sure it would be light work.
Yeah.
And that might be a group that, you know, you could put a program on for and see if you can get some people there.
Yeah, I think it's like there's the sky's the limit, and we just have to, like I say this all the time, this is one of my slogans with my other project at Chestnut Hall, is we have to walk before we run, but we are ready to go into a jog this year. Last year was walking with our 10 cabins. This year will at least be a jog because we want to have those additional support services and opportunities. And really, it's a chance to connect people to people. And that's what the chaplaincy does so beautifully is they are a group that is providing love and care to community and showing that by action. So we'd love to invite more people to be involved.
Yeah. So TRF, a member of the Chamber of Commerce?
Both the TRF and the chaplaincy are members of the chamber. So we did a ribbon cutting out there last year. All the officials of our community came out, Todd Shimkus from the chamber and Carrie Warner. And it's a really great community
effort.
Opportunity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, because there's places like, there's banks that have a cleanup day.
Yeah.
And they'll go, like, I know Franklin Community Center is one of my pet things. And they'll go and paint fences and do some cleanup and the yards and stuff. And I thought, you know, you could get a business through the chamber. There's so many businesses yes. that may want to use a service day
yeah.
and could come out. And, you know, the chamber is good for that.
They're
and
really
I'm sure
good
Todd
at that.
Todd would really help out.
That's an
out.
Excellent idea, Rick. Thank you. I actually just had an email to Andrea at the chamber this week okay. about something else. But I love that idea because this it's close. It's easy. It's a delight when you get there.
Yep.
And it helps us, you know, I have to say this is where I guess I have one trick. I'm a one trick pony is that by showing people, the people of the backstretch and making them aware of how hardworking and genuine they are, then they can care. And it's sure. what I do with the horses is if you see the horses, meet the horses and become aware, then you can decide to care. These exactly. are very similar opportunities.
Yeah. It's just, you know what? I mean, the racing industry is probably, I'm going to say 50% of what brings people into Saratoga, especially in the summertime. And you don't realize how much of an impact it has on the city and the people that live here
yep.
Financially and business-wise. I mean, you know, that's when they make yep. their off-season money. I mean, you know, you don't have a lot of people here. Even though it's a lot better than it was when I first moved here, there's a lot of people here in the wintertime. I mean, I always say you go down Broadway in a snowstorm and there's people walking.
Yes, there
going
are.
Going into the coffee shops or whatever. But you don't get the crowds like you do in the,
no.
you know.
Nothing like summer
from
in
June
Saratoga.
Until September. That's right. So, I mean, getting involved to helping out is really neat because, you know, you need more people and
yeah.
you need more offerings to the people like the backstretch workers
yep.
who really don't have anything. They don't get paid. I mean, for, you know, for the work they do.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't even know what they get paid. I don't even want to think about it if they get paid. But it's really a tough life. And like you said, because of horses, they're dedicated. I mean, that they are dedicated to that. So anything you can do to help out.
This is a really, well, thank you, Rick, for giving me the chance to talk about it and to make everyone feel welcome because this is a human-to-human, extend a welcoming hand. That is what Saratoga is known for. We are a tourist town. We are a resort town. We are a town that welcomes strangers. But these are the folks that don't usually get that special TLC. And doing that, it's a gift that gives back.
Sure.
And I love doing it. Everyone who was out there with me last summer, just we had so much fun. And that's where we just want more folks to come join us.
Yep. And I'll tell you, if you think horse owners are uppity and, you know, they own horses, they race them, and if they win, they take the purses, and that's all they do, you've got a lot to learn because most of them take an active role in the community and support organizations like yours and other organizations that involve horse racing without running or winning a race.
Yeah.
And we're fortunate with that too.
Yeah. I think it's, you know, we can always use that golden rule that when you generalize that they're all any one way, you're going to be wrong most of the time.
Yeah.
Everyone's got a story to tell, and there are a lot of really good folks involved
yeah.
in this industry.
And a lot of good, you know what, you can make friends in a day.
Well, you are particularly good at that, Rick.
Well, no, but you can.
Yes,
I mean,
you can.
You can make good friends in a day, yeah. and because you have a lot in common with, you know, with people. Why don't you give that phone number? You have a phone
yes.
number.
What
correct?
I thought I would do actually is give the website because
okay,
it's
yeah, give the
got
website.
All the information. I have
okay.
to put my glasses on because that's, you know, how it is these
oh,
days.
Oh, yeah. Hey.
So the website I'm going to give is for the Racetrack Chaplaincy of New York, and I'd encourage people to find the volunteer button. And when you submit your little application, it's like three questions. Just say you're interested in the Saratoga campground.
Okay.
Because then I will get all those directed to me. But the website is rtcany.org.
Okay.
And if you were just to Google New York Racetrack Chaplaincy, you'd also find your way there.
Okay.
But you'll learn a lot about the chaplaincy, which is great. And just go to the little menu button and find the volunteer. Let's see, how to help is actually what it's called. And you can volunteer, and you can just tell them you want to get involved in the Saratoga campground. And we would love to have folks do that.
No.
They can also reach out. I'll tell them to also reach out to you, Rick, on your channels, because you can always send them my way.
Sure. Can they get to the site from the TRF site? Do you have a link from there to this?
I need to, but I don't yet.
Okay.
So I'm going to send everyone straight to the chaplaincy until I have that.
That's good.
I want to
give the...
the TRF website.
TRF
too?
Website.
Well.
It's www.trfinc.org.
Yes.
And their phone number is 518-226-0028. And so go to that chaplaincy website, but I'm sure as time goes on, there'll be a link from the TRF, because you can go to the TRF's website and get a lot of information. And they always have a little newsletter there, what's coming up, and you can go back and look at what they've done. And so you can get an awful lot of information there and take a ride out there to see what's going on, and you'll be very impressed.
Yeah.
And you have barbecues. I remember last year you had a barbecue drive-through barbecue.
We did. I just put in my phone call to the Saratoga Winery this week, and I said, so we are excited about all that. That's how I always like to invite myself back, Rick, is when we have our summer lineup, you know I want to come talk about it. But I'd also mention that for folks, because the websites, neither of us as organizations have the sexiest websites. They're kind of hard to read. But our Facebook presences are both really active. So the TRF, you can look at Thoroughbred Retirement on Facebook. You can look at New York Racetrack Chaplaincy on Facebook. And you'll also see a lot of what's going on. So it's another way where you can always send a message and say, hey, tell me more about the summer program. We all work so closely together. It'll find its way to me.
It's a great group. And we talked a little bit before the show that, I don't know how long ago it was, but we had the volunteer.
Yes. Mary was here.
And that was a great program. And, you learn so much when you come on because there's always something new that goes on. And, you bring us up to date.
It's fun to do. Well, no, just a real shout out to you, Rick, that I had this volunteer in Kentucky writing me last night and said, I'm listening to the podcast with you, Rick, and Mary talking about volunteering. You know, we recorded that on February, 28th, 2020.
Yes, I remember. Matter of fact, one of the ladies that I'm in Kiwanis with, who used to be a BOCES culinary teacher, she taught culinary arts, and... she had retired, and she's in our club, and I had her on to talk about Kiwanis and her career, a little bit about her.
Great.
And that was March the 15th.
Oh, my gosh. You were borrowed time
at
that point.
Well, let me tell you, I don't want to veer off of the TRC, but from the show, I went to, that was our last radio show at Skidmore for this time until we can get back in.
Yeah,
I went from there to get a haircut in Boston Spa. No, actually, I went from the studio to have breakfast with a friend of mine.
Oh, good.
Then I went from there to get a haircut. And as I was on my way home to get a haircut from my haircut, because I drive school bus for special needs kids.
Yes.
And I got a call from my former boss, who's a friend of mine, and he said, Rick, school's been canceled. And all this happened in one day, and the world stopped.
It did.
And, it was just, it's the last time I got a haircut for 3 months. And I'll never forget that day.
It's like one of those seminal days. Now, we all have them. I mean, and I think of everything, it's like time stood still.
Exactly.
And that's how I feel about when we were here with Mary, because it was so close to the end.
Yeah.
But we're back.
We're
here.
Back. Yay. And we're back in full force.
Absolutely.
And things are going to open up more every week.
Yes.
And so we need people to take an active role again. And it's fun to get outside and be around people.
It is.
And it's amazing. And to see faces again. I said to one of the aides up at the school, she brought one of the wheelchair kids over, and I said, Chloe, she's probably a 24. I love to get her laughing. She's got such a cute laugh. And I said, you know, it's been almost a year since I've seen your face instead of just your eyes. And I said, I miss your pretty face. So she pulled her mask down quick and then pulled it up before anybody saw her. And I said, there it is. I've been missing that. And she laughed. And,
she laughed. You got your laugh.
That's the way it is, you know. And I love looking in people's eyes and seeing their face. When you talk, you can read so much.
Oh, my gosh.
It, you know. And,
well, I always like to, not to, like in the spirit of that, I feel the same way. And I always like to say that us humans, we are also herd animals. The horses are herd animals, and we talk about their herd dynamics. But we are herd animals, and we like to be together.
Yes.
And we feel better when we're together, and we understand each other better when we're together. And it is such a good thing. I was telling you, and this is not to go on forever, but my dad is flying in tomorrow. I'm very excited that my dear dad, his birthday is on Tuesday. He'll be here with me. And it's been a long, 16, 18, I don't know how many months now. He lives in Utah. And we've done a lot of Zoom and a lot of phone calls, and they've been trying and exhausting, and we've done our best. But I just can't wait to sit on the porch with him.
No.
And just sit there.
Yep. There's nothing like that. And people have given up so much in a year in that way. They haven't seen their kids. They haven't seen their family. And now things are relaxing, and you can get together again without sitting on a porch with a face mask on, trying to drink tea.
Yes.
And, like we said before the show, this is our stain on life. Every generation has one, the Depression, the Spanish flu, and a century before that, it was something else. And this is our stain that's going to change our lives like it did with the Depression. My grandparents grew up in the Depression, my in-laws, and they had to learn how to adapt, which carried on through the rest of their lives. And I think we're going to have to do that.
Yeah.
And you adapt for the better, though.
Yes.
And things happen, and you got to make the best of it. And, it doesn't last forever.
That's right. It just changes us. And we are a change. We're a malleable bunch.
One question I wanted to ask you. When the horses are in the stalls.
Yes.
And do they have like a dog or a cat in there? Because you see on TV, it always calms them down. Is that true?
It is true. It is true. And here's the thing that is true of all is that just like people, horses all have their own personalities.
Okay.
So there are certain personalities of horses because they are herd animals. It actually comes back to that same phrase. When you're being a racehorse, you live in a stall by yourself, which is kind of unnatural for a herd animal to be isolated. And as racehorses, they get used to it. Most of them get used to it. But there are those sort of anxious personalities, and we all know them in our lives. And those horses seek out or attract another animal. And so a cat or a cat usually, or a goat. Dogs are not as great. Dogs, other reasons, they're not bad, but they just don't tend to do this job so well. Goats, when you see a horse and a goat, it's because that horse sort of needed a comfort animal. That's like we've seen it with almost a support animal. Okay. Goats are really good at that job. But cats are too. Cats will sleep on the back of the horse, just happy as could be. It's really fun. Yeah, because they all speak, I would say, they may not speak the same language. It's probably more like German, French, and Spanish, but they do communicate with each other.
Sure. Well, Kim, thanks for being here today.
It's such a pleasure.
It is. It always is. And every time you're on, we always learn something new. And then we keep referencing what we say every show. So we bring people up to speed on what the mission of the TRF is. And I just want to thank you for being here.
Thank you, Rick. It's a pleasure. Can't wait to see you again soon.
You got it. And I want to thank everybody for listening. But as a citizen that doesn't work for TRF, think about making a donation. We talked before on previous shows that just the hay alone that the horses eat is a massive amount. And even if you donate $5 or $10 or can afford to donate more, it is a big help, believe me. You can go to the TRF's website again at the www.trfinc.org, or give them a call and ask for Kim, or anybody can help you out at 518-226-0028. No amount is too small. And, you know, if you think $5 isn't going to help things out, it will. So keep that in mind, and we'll sign off today, and we'll be back soon. You everybody have a great, great weekend, and happy Mother's Day to all. Here we go.
Yay! Wasn't that fun?
Yeah, it was.
Good.
We always
good,
have
good.
Fun when you're on, and don't ever think.